Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and well, it's Friday and it's the day before Halloween.
Start spreading the news.
All right, I'm guessing he's not in costume, but Schomburg Stu is here to do the podcast. How are you, Stu?
Well, we got a geriatric manager, and now you got geriatric Schomburg Stu in the house.
There you go. So you're the oldest co-host of a podcast in America is what we're going with.
Hey, so, all right.
But you could run with that. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need, get on over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still haven't managed to get Stu on Twitter yet, but feel free to look me up there at Burke Time, and I will send anything along to Stu that you want to pass along. So there you go. Oh, all right. Well, we did get our other managerial hire. The Tigers have announced that A.J. Hinch will be their manager next season. As you know, he was formerly the manager of the Houston Astros, who basically him and the GM were the guys who suffered the brunt of the cheating scandal because none of the players were punished. But, you know, no surprise, he's right back in the game. And, you know, the rebuilding Tigers, we'll see how he does. But there you go. So now I believe it's just the Red Sox without a manager, and we're just waiting for them to announce Alex Cora, and then we'll be all set.
Well, that's the word I hear, that Cora is going to be the next hire, but we'll see. I know that Hinch is a long, tough rebuilding chore in front of him, taking over the Tigers, who are even worse than Kansas City.
Yeah, they're not very close. I'm not even sure if they have that player they can, you know, actually build around. And they're still carrying Miguel Cabrera's contract for might be another year or two. So I don't know how this rebuild is going to go or how long it's going to take, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure how their financial situation is, if they can afford to delve deeply into the free agent market or not.
No, you know, and I don't even think they're ready to do that yet. I mean, their young players are still years away. You know, I mean, I'm sure they're hoping they can get a full season out of Casey Mize next year. He was the number one pick a couple years ago. But, yeah, it's not a, you know, a roster that I think I have a ton of confidence in turning around very quickly. You know, I mean, I know they have, you know, some talent, and, you know, Cabrera can still produce from time to time. And, you know, Jamar Candelario had a really nice year for them last year. But, you know, other than that, I mean, there's maybe Victor Reyes you could count on as an everyday player. So I don't know about any of these other guys. Well, I guess they did play Daz Cameron. We'll see if he develops.
Yeah, they got some work cut out for them for sure. And Cabrera, of course, is on the downside of his career, and I don't think he's done all that much the last few years. And he's not a youngster anymore.
Yeah, no, you know, he was solid last year. I mean, he's not the Miguel Cabrera he used to be, but of course, you know, I think he's pushing 40. So it's, you know, it's no surprise that there's a, you know, a little bit of a downturn there. And, you know, unfortunately, as, you know, he gets older, he seems to continue to run into some more injuries.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. He did hit 10 homers, which was a big plus for the short season. But, you know, his average was way down at 250. And, you know, this is a guy that, you know, is probably, you know, close to a 300 hitter throughout his career. So that, you know, that's a little rough.
Well, you know, at close to 40, he's no longer in his prime. Maybe they can get another year out of him. But you said he has, 2 years left on his contract? Or just one?
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it was 2022 was the last year of his deal. I'm going to gonna double check that here as we move along talking about him, but I believe that was the correct number. Let me see when it pops up here for me. Come on. He signed through 2023. But the contract has 2 years of vesting options. So if he was to reach them, he could be with the Tigers till 2025. And he'll be 38 in April. So
yeah, it looks like the years have caught up with him.
So, yeah, and I guess it's possible, but to get his vesting options, he has to finish in the top 10 in the MVP voting.
Well, I don't see that happening anymore.
Yeah, he would have to bounce back. You know, in 2023 is the first year. He would have to really bounce back and have a heck of a season to get into the top 10. He hasn't been in the MVP voting now over the last four seasons. Well, I doubt he'll get there this year, so we'll say four. He finished ninth in 2016, and that was the last time.
Maybe he'll surprise everybody and become at least the comeback player of the year, but I don't think that counts as being vested, though.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you do wonder. I mean, we've seen some guys bounce back. You know, I mean, Nelson Cruz is good now at, you know, coming up on 40 as he's pretty much been his entire career. So, you know, it is possible. And, you know, Cabrera has a history. You know, I mean, he was a back-to-back MVP. He was a Triple Crown winner. So, you know, he's got the skill level, but obviously he's going to have to stay healthy, you know, and find, you know, kind of find his swing again. And we'll see if that's something he can do or, you know, if they've just got him for, you know, three more years then instead. And, you know, it's a big time money deal. I mean, we're talking $32
yep.
million dollars a year for the next 3 years.
Yeah. Well, with one or two or three exceptions, it's hard to overcome father time if you're an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, especially on the baseball side. You know, now, you know, more and more now we're seeing, you know, more NFL quarterbacks play into their 40s. But, yeah, when you get to be a baseball player, unless you're a left-handed pitcher, it's a rarity that you manage to hang around that long and still be productive.
Yeah.
You know, I know Julio Franco hung around for a long time.
He certainly did.
You know, to be productive, but they're very few and far between, those guys are.
The quarterbacks that have hung around in their 40s, they play for a team that protected them. I guess they must have, because if you play that long, you have to have a great team behind you protecting the quarterback so he doesn't suffer any serious injuries.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, if you look at the guys who are, you know, coming up on it here. Drew Brees has been pretty much healthy through his career. Tom Brady has been pretty much healthy. I know Brady had the one season he missed, I think it was 15 games. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been really healthy. Those are the guys who are talking. You know, Brady said he wants to play till he's 45. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they manage to get there or if they get there. But I don't see very many baseball players doing that. Like, I looked up Nelson Cruz. He's 40, and he is under contract for next season. So we'll see. But I know there was some talk. He mentioned that he would like an extension. They have him listed here as a free agent. So we'll see if the Twins can bring him back or if somebody takes a shot at him. So
you never know with these ball players, because I've seen some players who are up in age and have a fantastic season and securing a maybe one or two year deal and completely lose it the next year.
Yeah, you know, it is almost kind of an oddity that players seem to perform better in their free agent years. You know, and that was always a thing, you know, like one of Dan's favorite guys was Ricky Henderson. And when Ricky was playing for a new contract, he was a monster. But it seems like once guys get those long-term deals, you wonder if maybe they're not as motivated to produce, especially if it's your second one. You've got to kind of wonder, you know, if you just get a little complacent, you know, you got enough money in the bank, you're not worried about anything. So it's kind of interesting to see how Nelson Cruz would do if, say, he got a 2 or 3 year deal from somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure that most teams would not look kindly to a guy who goes through the motions and coasts through a 2 year deal just based upon his previous reputation. You want him to play hard, no matter how what his age is and what the financial situation is. And a lot of, truth be told, there's a lot of players who have a pride in their ability to play the game and want to show everybody what they can do. But others, maybe, well, sadly, will kind of coast through it and go through the motions and kind of take it easy for the last year or two of their major league careers.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, you also add in the fact that, you know, the older you get, those skills are going to diminish a little bit. So, you know, it's just gonna happen. But I do find the other interesting thing I'm seeing here, you know, is it's time for teams to decide if they're going to pick up their options on their players or if they're just gonna, you know, let guys go into free agency or buy them out. And there's a lot of bigger names now that teams aren't picking up these salaries, and I'm wondering if it has to do with the fact that, you know, obviously they just lost a boatload of money. I know the union will do it, but I don't think you can claim collusion after what everybody just went through. Do you think we're gonna see big money deals like we have in the past this off season? Because I'm not sure we will.
I don't think so. I think the financial hit that baseball took is going to prevent some of those things from happening. I don't think you're going to see a lot of teams not going forward with some of these players that they had in their lineup for years. So we might see a lot of surprising things happen in 2021. I'm wondering though, that does baseball, the owners in baseball, do they have any kind of insurance for a catastrophic situation like what occurred in 2020, so they recoup some money financially? I'm wondering if any of them have anything like that in their insurance packages.
Yeah, you do wonder, but you know, some of the, you know, the names that people will recognize, you know, the Rays, who obviously just finished up the World Series. They decided not to pick up the option on Mike Zunino, their catcher, or Charlie Morton, who just had a really good run through the postseason. You know, yesterday the big news, kind of locally because it's Milwaukee, is the Brewers decline Ryan Braun's option, so he'll be a free agent. So there are, like I said, there are some bigger names kind of starting to float around here, and I haven't heard yet. You know, the one I was waiting for is, are the Cubs going to pick up that John Lester option? Because that's a big number. And
I would think they won't do it, despite the credibility he brings to a team and prestige he brings to a team. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, my guess here with a lot of these guys, like, you know, the Indians today decided not to pick up Carlos Santana's option. He's more or less been a career Indian. I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to bring him back for lower money. He was due to make $17.5 million. But, I wouldn't be shocked to see him come back to Cleveland at, like, you know, 10 or 12. You know, maybe he comes back. And I think that's what a lot of these teams are going to try to do. Like, I would expect Milwaukee to do the same thing with Braun. You know, decline the Brett Gardner option. I wouldn't be shocked to see him return on a small one-year deal. But, you know, we'll see how it goes.
You think age is the biggest factor in making these decisions? Because, let's face it, Morton is, what, 36, and Braun's got to be around 37 or so. So I think you're going to have to – age is going to be a big factor when they make these decisions.
Yeah, well, you know, and you also look at it, I mean, Braun was due to make, you know, a pretty good sum. I think it was 15 or 18 million. And, you know, you look at his numbers and he's just not that guy anymore. You know, he's not the heart of your order, you know, the guy you build the team around anymore. So I can completely understand that. I don't really know why the Rays let Morton go, but they are a fiscally challenged Major League Baseball team. He was due to make $15 million, which doesn't sound too bad for a pretty good starting pitcher.
Yeah, but don't forget, isn't he 36?
Yeah,
Morton?
He's 36 or 37. But you know, I mean, you're looking at a guy who just stepped up big in the postseason. So, you know, and they're not talking, you know, a $30 million deal or anything like that. It's the 1 year at 15, which is a pretty good going rate for a starting pitcher.
It is, but you have to take into consideration the financial loss, that especially a team like Tampa that doesn't have the great financial resources in the first place to keep some of these players that you were talking about. So it's a different decision this time. It's more difficult as to whether they will make the move or not. And as you suggest, you think that they're hoping that they will get these players back on a one-year deal at a much lower rate of pay?
You know, I think in some cases, you know, like I would guess that it's not going to happen with Charlie Morton, because I believe there will be teams that would, you know, love to add him, especially contender. You add him to the back of your rotation for, you know, 1 year, you know, or if he'll take a year with an option again, like he did with Tampa Bay, you know, they would probably pay him 15 or maybe a little more after the performance he just had. So I don't think he'll be returning. But yeah, these other guys, you know, especially the career long guys. I mean, Braun has only played for the Brewers. Brett Gardner's only played for the Yankees. You know, I mentioned Santana, who did have a stint in, I believe it was Cleveland and Seattle, but ended up coming right back to Cleveland, and it's the only place he's had success. You know, those guys coming back, I wouldn't be shocked by that at all. But, you know, like the Indians also let Brad Hand go, which is kind of odd. In 2019, he led Major League Baseball in saves. In 2020, he's released. So,
yeah.
You know, a quality left-handed reliever out there, somebody's going to jump on him, and Cleveland isn't going to pay him.
Well, Cleveland, of course, doesn't have the financial money to keep some of these players that they've had for a long time. And they're in a small market compared to some of the major teams, so it's difficult for them, and even more so after this year.
And it'll draw. You know, but I know, you know, like the Marlins released, you know, former Cub Brandon Kitzler, and they've already said they want to bring him back. So, you know, there are teams who have mentioned that, but, you know, like the Astros actually let go two of their better relievers. They let go of their closer, Roberto Ozuna, and I get it. He's coming. He's had arm surgery, so he may miss a chunk of next season. But they also let go Chris Devinsky, who's been a really good setup man for them. So, you know, we're getting a lot of names are, you know, kind of dropping out here. And it'll be interesting to see who goes where or who maybe tries to pick up some pieces.
It takes a long time before these things happen in 2021. Are we going to hear the word collusion again, you think?
You know, I'm willing to bet the union tries it because that's what they do. But I don't think you can claim it this time. I mean, they can baseball, you know, they can show millions of dollars in losses. So, you can't really say they're colluding against anybody.
No. But it's going to be quite an interesting offseason. And it would surprise me if a lot of these deals were consummated quickly.
So, yeah, no, it's probably going to take a while, you know, because if you think about it, these guys are going to want their money. You know, they're going to want what they think they're worth. And unfortunately, that money's not going to be there. But, you know, they're going to complain about it and they're going to want it. I just don't think, you know, obviously the bigger teams – you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Dodgers, they can pay these guys whatever they want if they're willing to do it. You know, the Red Sox have already said that they want to stay under the luxury tax. The Cubs have also mentioned that a time or two. The Dodgers obviously don't care. They want to win. You saw the contract they gave Mookie Betts. So if they feel they want a guy or maybe the Yankees decide – you know, this is what they need to shore some things up, I wouldn't be surprised to pay them, you know, close to what they were going to make or even maybe a little more. But these other teams, yeah, they're going to sit and wait for the market to come down on these guys.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, the Cubs have a lot of serious things to consider. And I'm wondering if they're even going to – what about Rizzo? Is he going to get a deal or not? I mean, he was on a – team-friendly deal for all those years, and you think they would want to reward the guys, but I don't know if they're going to do it or not.
So, you know, they don't have to worry about that. He's on that deal for a couple more years. So, you know, that's the...
They won't renegotiate his contract, and I know a lot of players have tried to do that over the years, but not so much anymore.
So, just one of the things, I mean, unfortunately, when you take a deal like that, you've got to kind of go with it. And let's see, yeah, he's got one more year on his deal at 16.5. So, you know, and that's an option, which of course the Cubs will pick up. There's no surprise there. But, yeah, Lester's sitting on a $5 million option that they're going to have to make a decision with.
You know, I was talking about renegotiations, and I think the only sport I've seen that happen more often than not has been in football. I've seen a lot of players successfully renegotiate their deals, and I'm not sure why there as compared to basketball or baseball or hockey.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it has to do with the football, you know, is it's always those top guys that teams kind of need. You know, if your quarterback decides he's going to sit out because he wants a new deal, you need him. So you got to figure out a way to work it out.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it does seem to happen more in football than in the other major sports.
Yeah, well, you know, I know for a while it was happening in baseball. We had some guys, you know, who were willing to sit out the start of the season. I mean, just recently, you know, while we were on the Cubs, Craig Kimbrell did it. You know, Jake Arrieta, Alex Cobb. There were a few guys who waited it out. But oddly, I don't think any of those guys have performed very well since sitting out. So you wonder if maybe that's something players have to look at.
It has to be a factor on those guys. All of those guys didn't perform up to their normal standards when they held out for a long period of time. Well, look at Kimbrel right here in Chicago. It took him till the end of 2020 before he finally started to pitch like he's supposed to pitch. And even now, we don't know if that is truly accurate because it wasn't always in a game situation.
It wasn't in the role he was brought here to perform under. So, you know, who knows? But, you know, and, you know, Arrieta's been a bust for Philadelphia. I think he's going back out on the free agent market. So it would be interesting to see, you know, obviously he's a Scott Boras guy, and Boras will insist on a lot of money, but I can't see anybody paying him. You know, he's got nothing to show for his last couple of years.
No, he's really been a bust for them.
So.
And what kind of a deal will he get? I think, I'm sure some team will pick him up, but what kind of a deal would he get, a one-year deal?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing now is the team seemed to give a guy 1 year with the option year with a buyout. So my guess is he would get a deal like that, and then if he pitches well, they'll keep him around for a second year. If he doesn't or they think, you know, the price tag is too high, they cut him loose and let him go out and try again.
Yeah, there was some speculation a few weeks ago that he might be coming back to the Cubs, but I don't think that's going to happen.
So. Yeah, you know, obviously the Cubs are going to have to make some kind of starting pitching moves because both Jose Quintana and Tyler Chatwood are free agents. So, you know, and then if they decide to not bring Lester back, you know, you're looking at what? You got Kyle Hendricks and Alec Mills are the only two guys left in the rotation.
As we talked about, I've been accused of being pessimistic, but I think the Cubs are getting very close to a rebuild again. And maybe that is being too pessimistic, but I look at what they've done the last few years and how disappointing they've been, and I could see it happening to at least to some extent.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got big decisions to make. You know, guys like Bryant and Baez are in their last year of arbitration. I think Wilson Contreras has 2 years left. You know, we already mentioned that Rizzo's deal is up after this year. They've got to make the Lester decision. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, could go on with this team. And I don't think Theo stays for another rebuild, though, because he can't fix it like he did last time.
No, he'll be so here one more year, and he'll fulfill his deal. It'll be his last year in 2021, right?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he decided to, you know, kind of pack up and walk away after this. You know, that would be no shock. But, you know, we'll see. You know, and I don't know if there would be a gigantic market out there for him like there used to be just because he can't do the things that made him successful anymore. So yeah. I don't know if he can build a team now. I mean, he hasn't shown the ability to make quality draft picks unless he's picking very early in the draft. You know, the fact that the Cubs have developed absolutely no pitching in the entire time he's been there. You know, they haven't developed one quality pitcher that Theo Epstein has drafted since he's been with the Cubs.
Yeah, I think the Cub fans got spoiled. They expected sustained success like the Dodgers, and it's not going to happen because the Dodgers, for example, though they finally won the World Series, they won the West, 8 years in a row?
Well, to be fair, though, they're in a much weaker division than the Cubs are. You know, it's getting better now with San Diego, but for a while they haven't really had any competition. You know, the Giants were good for a little bit, but they're down. The Rockies always kind of flame out. So, you know, and the you know, that's it.
Yeah, but,
you know, the Cubs,
erratic. You know, they've had a couple of good years at Arizona, but more often than not, they're an also ran.
Yeah. You know, and to be fair, with the team the Cubs had or still have, there should have been sustained success with this team. There's really no reason that they didn't win more than one World Series. You know, and you can look over and over again, and it all falls on the players, even though they're never going to get the blame because they did win one. And, you know, you can go back and the comments Anthony Rizzo made during this season talking about they were worried about who would be back on the team next year. Who cares? You need to win this year.
That's right.
And, again, they went out and choked to a team in the wild card round that they should have dominated. But there's no quality guys on this team who can perform under pressure.
No.
You know, and it, you know, they were very lucky to win the one World Series because Joe Maddon did everything in his power to give it away.
Yeah, it looked like, to me, a lot of players regressed this season. Well, because it was only a 60-game season, but Baez reverted back to his old form of swinging on everything, and Brian has really never been the same since he was beamed a few years ago. He's been okay, but he looks awful at the plate. So they have, and I was disappointed in Schwarber, for example, because he had a great second half of 2019, but it didn't carry over till this year.
You know, remember with Schwarber, we were promised a guy who was going to hit 40 to 50 homers a year, and we haven't gotten anything near that.
In the last full season, didn't he hit over? He did hit over 30, though, correct?
Yeah, I think he popped up the 1 year, and you know he finished off strong when they didn't make the playoffs. So, whoopee, thanks for nothing. I mean,
yeah,
you know, luckily Ian Happ bounced back because he was looking like a bust, and you know Wilson Contreras has improved, but you know, other than that, I mean. You know, what are you going to do with Brian? He's going to make about $20 million in arbitration. You can't keep him. You got to find a deal for him because you need to sign Baez. He needs to stay. And then in reality, you probably can deal Schwarber as well because he's getting close to making $10 million a year, and he's a free agent after 2021. So
the question is, with their diminished skills, are they going to get – equal value in return for these guys?
Well, they may get equal value from what they're playing for now, you know, but I mean, if you look at it, you know, if Schwarber goes to an American League team, you can get value because he's a DH. You know, well, I guess to be fair, they're going to add the DH in the National
League. They probably
will
add permanently.
Yeah, 2022 when the new CBA comes in. So, you know, so he's got some value. You know, Brian, I don't know. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's going to be 29. He's got the resume that says, yeah, hey, I can do this. He just hasn't. You know, and again, you wonder, you know, when you start thinking about, well, who's going to be here next year or how's this team going to look while you're playing another season, you've got problems. And then the other problem, of course, is the fact that Theo doesn't like to get rid of his guys. So if he hangs on to these guys, Bryant walks after this season because the Cubs aren't going to pay him. They'll probably pay Baez, but would you pay Schwarber?
Probably not.
You still got to get
what he's done, no.
Right, because then you got to get Rizzo back under contract, and he's not going to give you a team-friendly deal again. So it's going to if it's not a drastically different team next year, it will be in 2022. But I don't think Theo will be here to see it. So
right. Well, I know a lot of people don't take much stock in batting averages, but I do. And I think everybody said how much Happ and Hayward improved this year. I think they wound up only both hitting in the high 250s. Now, is that a stupendous amount? Is that great of batting average?
That's an improvement for Ian Happ. He was
horrible. But 258, is that wonderful a batting average?
Yeah, well, you know, the way they look at it now, it is. And Hayward hit 265, by the way. So
I was off 7 points.
Obviously, you know, the thing they're looking at is Happ is he hit 12 home runs, and that's all that matters in today's game. You know, is you get that, you know, if you hit those home runs, you can hit 100. Nobody cares.
That's true. And the thing the Cubs need is one consistent hitter. Everybody on that team seems to run hot and cold.
Yeah. Well, you know, and obviously they need a table setter. You know, and that's like I was joking with Dan yesterday. I saw that the Mariners let D. Gordon go. I thought he'd be a great signing for the Cubs. You plug him in at second base every day, you let him lead off, and you've got a legitimate leadoff hitter. I mean, I know they won't make that move because it would block Nico Horner. But, again, I mean, does this team come into another season without a legitimate leadoff guy? I mean, they haven't had one since Dexter Fowler.
No, and that's hurt them tremendously.
You know, and I know, I get it, stolen bases are another thing that don't mean anything anymore. But, man, you need at least one guy that can give you 10. And, you know, there's nobody on the Cubs roster. You know, Hayward's not that guy anymore. You know, and other than that, I mean, well, probably Baez, but you don't want Baez leading off because he's a run producer. So, you know, you look at the team over and over going, okay, great. What are we doing?
And you think Horner will ever develop into more than a 240 punch and Judy hitter?
You know, I haven't seen enough of him to know. I mean, you know, we're going to have to see him play on a regular basis, which he didn't really get to do last year. You know, I mean, you need to – if you're going to find out, you got to give him the job, let him play, and figure it out from there. So
Did Kipnis get a two-year deal or a one-year deal?
No, he's gone. He's a free agent. So
He's done. They need a solid second baseman.
You know, and, you know, that, like I said, and that was the thing when I saw D. Gordon's name pop up was, oh, hey, there you go. You know, he fills two holes. But, again, I know they won't make a signing like that because you've got to think they're going to go in with Horner as the guy and, you know, hope it works out because, as of right now, I don't think they have anybody else behind him.
Well, it doesn't look like they're going to be a bona fide contending team in 2021 unless something drastic happens. There's too many.
Well, you know, unless they've got to add starting pitching, you know. I mean,
that's the name of the game. You know, exactly right.
You can't run Hendricks, Darvish, and Mills out there every third day. That just doesn't work. And, again, I mean, there's nobody on the roster that can fill the void. So,
yeah, they had there's one or two potential pitchers that look promising, but they certainly haven't done the job just yet.
No, and they won't. They're called, you know, they're not the kind of guys that you can count on for anything. It's the way, you know, it's the way Theo drafted the team and, you know, it was hitting first and we'll sign pitching. Well, now he's got to sign pitching and, you know, we'll see if he does it because slowly but surely there are guys who are starting to leak out onto the market. You know, and like I don't expect them to, you know, go out and sign, you know, Trevor Bauer, who's the best starting pitcher, but they're going to have to come up with something.
Yeah, they can't always look out like when they got Arrieta. Nobody expected him to do what he did for the Cubs, and but those great deals and favorable moves don't happen all the time.
So yeah, no, they, you know, again, they got to come up with, you know, something of merit somewhere that, you know, they can, you know, they can plug a guy in and say, hey, we're going to have this guy for, you know, the next 3 or 4 years in our rotation, and he's going to be the guy. And, you know, that doesn't mean go out and sign a guy like Corey Kluber, who got his option declined today, and pray to God he stays healthy and gives you the Corey Kluber he used to be. You know,
yeah,
that
well,
means the starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's what you have to look for as a starting pitcher. You want to look for someone who's had a virtually injury-free career as a durable pitcher, but everybody seems to get hurt now and then anyway, and it's hard to find someone who's always healthy year after year after year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you need a, you know, a 30-start guy, you know, and I don't know how many of them will actually be out there when, you know, it's all said and done. But again, you know, there's guys who are gonna slowly but surely kind of leak out onto the market as teams have to make these decisions on who to pick up. And, you know, then of course we'll see, you know, the free agents, or, you know, maybe some guys will get their arbitration denied. So there's going to be guys. It's just that simple.
Yeah. But I don't see too much happening until 2021 as we get closer towards spring training.
Yeah, you know, and again, teams are, you know, they're going to sit and they're going to wait, you know, because they're going to, you know, they're not going to want to pay what these guys are going to be expected to get. And, you know, again, I get it. You want everything you think you deserve. But if the market's not there, you got to take what's offered.
Yeah, and it's not easy putting together a solid contending team that can compete year after year after year, with the exception of maybe Oakland, Tampa. Of course, we know the Dodgers are always going to be up there. And
you know, the Yankees do a nice job. You know, obviously they can spend the money. So
a few years ago, Boston was up there too, but boy, they fallen in bad times, haven't they?
Yeah, well, you know, like, I won't be surprised if they bounce back, because you got to remember, Chris Sale didn't pitch in the 60-game season. Neither did Eduardo Rodriguez. If they both come back and they're healthy, that immediately raises the probably a wild card contender. So, you know, that, because then, you know, you don't have to depend on Nathan Eovaldi to be your ace. And, like, I won't be surprised if they go out and sign, another, you know, Trevor Bauer has already kind of tweeted at them that he's interested in going there. You know, if they were to add Bauer, that would give them a really solid 4-man rotation. Then it's just finding that fifth guy to add. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm shocked at all if they make a big bounce back.
Well, there aren't that many good teams in the American League East besides the Yankees anyway, so.
Well, the Blue Jays have improved, you know, and obviously the Rays are going to be always good.
Right,
so.
Right. But, yeah, they can bounce back. I could see them bouncing back next year, but I'm not sure if they bounce back enough for a wild card spot, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's where they'll contend. Like, I don't think they'll be good enough to compete with the Rays or the Yankees at the top. You know, of course, you know, you never know. I mean, we have to, you know, see what moves everybody makes. And, you know, because the Yankees are another team that look like they need to add starting pitching. So, you know, we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah, I think Tampa's a very interesting team, by the way. I think they play the game the right way. They played baseball the way baseball should be played.
Well, with the exception of taking your starting pitcher out in Game 6 of the World Series because the analytics tell you to.
That's going to come back to haunt them, and how long is that going to be? That story going to be carried about that decision.
Forever.
And it was a horrendous decision, as it turned out. And reminds me of when they took Hendricks out in 2016. That could have cost them Game 7.
That's exactly what the analytics told him to do, and he just followed the playbook. Didn't do any managing at all, just did exactly what he was supposed to do. So, you know, and that's the tough part with, like, you know, when you bring a manager in, you know, are you bringing him in because you're going to tell him how to run the team analytically, or are you going to let him manage? So, you know, we'll have to see. And obviously, Tony La Russa is going to be allowed to manage. You know, I would guess the Tigers would let A.J. Hinch manage since he has won a World Series. But, you know, like Dave Roberts doesn't do a ton of managing with the Dodgers. Their lineup is analytically put together, and he's basically told who's available to use in the bullpen.
Yeah, he doesn't, so, you know, have, he doesn't have much of a skill set to manage a team like that anyway.
Right. You know, you're so solid. Get to have that feeling, yeah, you know, and go like, oh, yeah, I got a feeling about this guy. Let's put him in. You know, you can't do that.
And, yeah, well, it has worked for the Dodgers, but as you pointed out, maybe their division isn't quite as strong as some of the other ones or as competitive.
Right, and to be fair, you know, they've bought a lot of talent, and they developed a ton of pitching. You know, that's the one thing you got to give the Dodgers. I mean, when you look at them, they are loaded with young pitching. And I don't know how they do it or what their system is, but, man, they find guys, and they're just – you know, they'll compete forever as long as they continue to produce pitching.
Yeah, some of their pitchers they used in the World Series, young guys in their mid-20s, 100,
yeah.
101 miles an hour on a consistent basis, too. I mean, they have developed a talented staff.
You know, and, you know, they're going to need some bullpen help because their bullpen is aging, and Kenley Jansen isn't the closer he used to be. But, you know, I mean, they've got, you know, obviously Kershaw will be back, but Walker Buehler is young. Dustin May is young. Julio Urias was a stud in the postseason. So you got to wonder if he's going to develop into the guy that they thought when he was a 19-year-old phenom. You know, they got Dustin May. Obviously, they love this Tony Gonsolin because they kept running him out there in the postseason, even though he stunk. So it's, you know, there's just a ton of talent there, young pitching.
Well, as it stands right now, of course, they did the top teams, and they went from top to bottom recently, and it was no surprise to see the Dodgers being the number one team in baseball for 2021 projected.
Yeah, the early betting line was that they would repeat, and you know, you got to think, obviously, without teams making moves, I mean, you jump right back to the Dodgers and the Yankees as the top teams in each league. You know, even though the Yankees got tossed this year, you still look at that team and go, oh, yeah, you know, they'll win.
Yeah, as I told you many times before, to me it's, as Yogi once said, deja vu all over again, because when I grew up in the 50s, every year it seemed to be the Dodgers and the Yankees. Of course, the Brooklyn Dodgers until 56 or 57, but it was the Dodgers and the Yankees every year. And now it's happening all over again.
Look it up, kids. The Dodgers used to play in Brooklyn. So.
Yep, that did Ebbets Field.
You know, the Dodgers used to play in Brooklyn, the Giants used to play in New York, and the A's used to play in Philadelphia. So.
Yeah, with good old Connie Mack at one time managing that team.
And then they had a stop in Kansas City on their way to Oakland. So. You know, it's interesting what you can find when you go through, you know, baseball history to see where the teams were at one point in time.
Yeah, lots of turnover. I wonder if Montreal will ever get a team again. They might.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, we got to wait and see how long this damn COVID thing lasts because it doesn't seem like it wants to go away. But, yeah, I think eventually we'll get a team in Montreal. I think my question is, you got to add two, so where do you put the other one?
Yeah, that's correct. And I don't know. You know, you got Toronto, of course, in the in Montreal. There'll be two obvious choices. Plus, once we have Toronto's been established for years, would there be a third Canadian team?
You know, I guess if it would be out west,
Vancouver,
you know,
for example.
Vancouver. You know, I mean, I have heard for years a lot of rumors about going to Mexico City. The economy is good enough for a team to compete there.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because there are rabid baseball fans in Mexico, and I'm sure they would support a team. And it would be probably capacity crowds for every game.
there's also some safety concerns with the way badly things kind of happen down there. So,
You don't want to get the cartels involved in baseball.
Right. You know, the last thing you need is, you know, a kidnapping or just kind of a murder or something for a guy who, you know, didn't perform when somebody had big money bet on him.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to avoid that possible scenario.
You know, not that it would happen, but, you know, they do have some interesting murder cases in Mexico, so.
Pretty grisly ones, too,
which
we won't discuss now, but they can be ultra-violent.
But if you do want to discuss those, you can tweet Dan at DanZMan with 3 E's, because basically all he does is watch the ID Network now, and he's all hip on all that stuff. So shoot him a tweet there, and he'll engage you in whatever murder Mexico conversation you want to have. But we do have, you know, the NFL trading deadline is right around the corner, and I'm waiting to see what kind of move your Bears make. Are they going to go out and land a big guy to seal their playoff spot? You know, they are 5-2, so, you know, they add a guy or two, they could lock up their run to the Super Bowl here.
Well, I'm wondering, and I was going to ask you this question, but do you think the Bears are going to wind up over 500 or under 500 when it's all said and done?
Well, let's take a look here, and we will see. Okay, well, they have the Saints this week, and even though the game is outside, I kind of think that's going to be a loss. All right. I don't know. You know, how do you feel? You think they're winning that game?
No, I have to agree with you. I think it's a loss.
All right. Then they play the Titans, who I believe are, you know, an actual contender in the AFC. I have a feeling they lose that.
They lose that game for sure.
Then they go to Minnesota, who is really bad, and I think they can. Well, actually, they're home to Minnesota. I think they can beat Minnesota because Minnesota's bad. So
yeah,
that would
at least
be
they can beat them at home.
Right. Then they go to Green Bay, which is a loss.
Correct.
Then they host Detroit. You know, they kind of got lucky to beat Detroit last time, but I think at home they probably get a win.
I think that's
so
correct.
You know, that would get them to 7. They have the Texans, who are 1-6 and going through a coaching change. I think it's going to depend on some of the moves the Texans make, because they're talking about trying to deal some of their top guys. But that could be their 8th win right there. Then it's going to depend on how they play on the road, because they'll have the Vikings again. And then the Jaguars on the road, there's a shot they could get to 9 or 10 wins. They wrap up against the Packers, and they're not beating the Packers. The Packers are just a better team, even though it's in Chicago. So,
I'm looking for 8-8. I'm 8-8 at best, 9-7.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, I think the big question becomes is, if they do finish 9-7, does that get them in the playoffs? I mean, obviously they'll be beaten badly in the first round by whatever playoff team they face. You know, unless they get lucky enough to play the winner of the NFC East, they might beat them. But it looks like it might get them at least in contention for a wild card. The Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Rams, the Bucks, and the Packers are the other 5-win teams. So, you know, and this is a big game, because if New Orleans wins, they go to 4-2, and that would give them the leverage on the Bears in any kind of tiebreaker situation. So we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, but I don't think the defense can carry him to that many, to an even a 9-7 mark, because the offense is just so bad. They just have to do something about the offense, and I'm not exactly sure what.
Yeah, well, you know, a suggestion would be attempt to run the football a little bit and give
your
team defense.
Well, Montgomery hasn't been very impressive as a runner. Let's face facts.
Try to run the football so your defense isn't right back out there. And, you know, let's not forget that Matt Nagy got rid of a 1,000-yard rusher in Jordan Howard because he didn't fit the system, and David Montgomery did. So my question immediately becomes, is this the right system? So
yeah, very good question, of course. And I think they should get Kmet more involved in the game than he has been so far.
You know, it would be nice if they could find a way to improve pretty much anything on offense at this point. You know, it's kind of humorous that they have a 5-2 record and they've actually given up more points than they've scored. But they're a 5-2.
Too often. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
Do you know,
envision
and I mean,
a scenario when they could bring back Trubisky to replace Foles?
You know, I don't, and obviously unless he's injured, I don't think you can go back to him at this point. And in reality, there's no reason to, because you're not re-signing him. You know, he's in the last year of his deal, and you're not bringing him back.
Yeah,
you know, Foles, I believe,
as a Bear, right? No matter how he has played his last game as a Bear, it looks like, unless there's an injury to Foles.
Barring an injury to Foles, I believe he's done. You know, he'll end up on somebody's roster next year as probably a third quarterback. But as far as his NFL career, it's pretty much over. You know, and he'll go down as one of the biggest busts in Bear draft history.
Absolutely correct. And,
we
all know who the Bears could have selected very easily in that draft, but not much you can do about it now.
You know, and the humorous thing, though, is you have to wonder, even if they would have drafted those guys, be it Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or even Lamar Jackson, would they have success with this offense in this system?
They might have had some success, but I don't think it would have been as much success as they got with the teams they wound up playing for.
Yeah. You know, and that's that's always the big question. Yeah, obviously they missed on better quarterbacks, but even if they had Patrick Mahomes, this team isn't going to the Super Bowl.
Not even close.
So, you know, and that's the key to it all. I mean, obviously it would be great to have him because you'd have a quarterback to build around, you know, which is what every team in the NFL is always looking for. And the fun part becomes, do they try to grab one in the draft? Because with their record the way it is, they're going to end up picking in probably the middle of the first round.
You think that eventually, one time they would get lucky and maybe third, fourth, fifth round, pick an unknown quarterback from a small college and the guy turns out to be a great player? It's got to happen one time, doesn't it?
You would think, you know, you could find somebody somewhere that could, you know, at least give you, even if it was a short 4 or 5 quarterback, you know, that would be nice. But for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to happen with these guys, you know, no matter who's running the team.
Yeah, well, I think back some of the quarterbacks they've had, and it's really sad. Sid Luckman and even George Blanda played quarterback for the Bears before they peddled him to Oakland.
So, you know, but before we run out of time here, what's your prediction for the Bears on Sunday, and give me a final score?
I would say the Bears lose a score of 31-10.
Ooh, all right, there you go. Let's head into the weekend. And I'll be back Stop.
Bye.